Welcome back to episode 3 of Prep Work, the Dispatches High School Sports Podcast. I'm Bailey Johnson, the Dispatches High School Sports Reporter. Sorry we didn't have an episode out last week. It was certainly not my intention to break our streak of weekly shows after only the first 2 weeks. But as you might imagine, things got a little bit crazy covering the Bishop Sycamore story. We usually record in the studio on Mondays, and I remember last Monday morning sending a message to Patrick, our audio producer, saying, "Hey, things are crazy with this story, but I should be able to record something myself at home later this afternoon or tomorrow that we can get out." And I fully intended to do that. And then obviously that didn't quite work out with everything that kept happening with Bishop Sycamore. I really expected it to die down after Monday into Tuesday, but by Thursday it was still pretty full steam ahead. So missed last week with the podcast. We're back this week. I assume those of you listening to this are familiar with the Bishop Sycamore story, but for those of you who aren't, Bishop Sycamore is a local football team that played on ESPN last Sunday, lost 58-0 to IMG Academy, and in the course of that game, the ESPN commentators, when they were down 30-0 in the second quarter, began to admit that they had not been able to verify Bishop Sycamore's claims that they had a multitude of Division I prospects on the roster, which led to people all over Twitter investigating. It turned into a national conversation about the legitimacy of Bishop Sycamore. We quickly came to learn that they said they were an elite level high school football team, but they in fact weren't particularly good at football, nor were they even really what you might call a school. They had registered with the State Department of Education last year as a non-chartered, non-tax supported school and only reported an enrollment of 3. The latest update on the story is that their new coach says they're not actually a school at all and are a post-grad football academy. They are still seeking games to play this fall and still practicing as far as I know. So quick little recap, but we also yesterday, Tuesday, put out a longer form sort of mini podcast, 5 to 7 minutes or so, breaking down the full storyline. So if you're interested, make sure you check that out. As for this podcast, we'll try to keep the focus on actual high school students playing actual sports and being actually good at them. It was certainly a breath of fresh air on Friday night to see a real football game after a week of covering, I guess fake football would be the easiest thing to call it, after a week of covering the Bishop Sycamore story and having to spend a lot of time thinking about the impact on those students, the impact on those players, what it means for their future that they have joined up with this program that promised them a lot and ultimately couldn't deliver on any of it. So it was very nice to be at Westerville South to watch them play Hilliard Derby. Ended up being, I think, one of the best games I've seen so far this year. Final score was 34-31, really came down to the wire. Both teams traded touchdowns for pretty much the whole second half. It was exactly what I needed after a long week of a really unfortunate story to cover. Certainly not the kind of story I got into this business to work on, but they can't always be uplifting, I guess. And, you know, it was an important story to tell, and I was grateful to get the opportunity to work so heavily on it and to have the freedom to spend my whole week working on something like that, which is a pretty deep investigation that takes up a lot of time. So I certainly appreciate our situation here at the Dispatch that allowed me to do that, but I would be lying if I said I was not super excited to go see football Friday night and get back into the main part of my job this week. So that said, we'll talk a little bit about what's coming this Friday night in football, a couple little highlights from our Athlete of the Week poll, and then we'll move on to stuff for next week because keep this one a little short since it's coming out a little later in the week. Obviously, this Friday night, we've got football, as always, week 4 already. It's almost impossible to believe that it's already week 4 of 10 regular season games. Conference play is starting up in a few of the leagues. A bunch of City League games, 3 games in the OCC, and a good handful of Mid-State League games. Unfortunately, there have also been a good handful of games canceled because of COVID. It sort of seems like every week more and more games have gotten canceled. This week it's slowed down a little bit so far, but it is only Wednesday afternoon as I record this. And last week we saw a lot of Thursday and even Friday morning cancellations. So continue to hope that that trend slows down and we are able to get in a good normal season this fall, because the rising COVID numbers certainly have me a little bit concerned, and have people I've spoken to concerned that things might not go quite as smoothly this fall as we would have hoped. And we certainly have already seen that around the state and right here in Central Ohio. But on a lighter note, there are quite a few good games this weekend, both in conference play and not in conference play. There are a whole bunch of teams looking to go 4-0, including Pickerington Central, Big Walnut, Dublin Jerome, Hilliard Derby, Olentangy Berlin, Hilliard Davidson, Upper Arlington, New Albany, South, Bloom Carroll, Tees Valley, Barron Union, Granville, Heath, Newark Catholic, North Union, and West Jefferson. And that Darby Davidson is going to be really interesting. They play each other Friday night, and obviously they're both 3-0. Only one of them can go 4-0. So a matchup of the unbeatens in week four is always a fun one to watch. Pickerington Central is playing Pickerington North, which should also be a good crosstown rivalry, good game there. I will be at Upper Arlington when they play Westerville Central. I'm excited to see them look to get to 4-0 and get my first look at the Golden Bears. Since we last talked a couple weeks ago, I went and saw Pickerington Central play Elder in week two. And like I mentioned at the top, saw Darby play Westerville South in week three. So going on a little bit of a tour of the area's top teams through the first few weeks here. I'm in a fortunate position where every week I sort of get to decide what game I think is going to be the most interesting and go see a team that compels me, a team that excites me, a team that I think is going to be good and is someone that I want to see early on in the year. So when we get to the playoffs, I have a good sense of what that team's all about, who their key players are, how they like to play, all that sort of stuff. So far I've seen quite a few talented teams. Excited to see Upper Arlington on Friday. I'm trying not to get to too many repeats because there are so many teams and it feels a little bit silly to see repeat teams, but I have now seen Hilliard Darby play twice and have been super impressed by them in both games. I also got to see Caden Saunders for the first time Friday night for Westerville South, and he certainly lived up to my expectations as a Penn State commit and a really highly recruited athlete. He is so explosive with the ball in his hands. Multiple times he would catch a little screen that looked like it was maybe going to go for 5 yards, and all of a sudden he's gone for 20. It's unbelievable to watch. He is really, really talented. As Hilliard Darby quarterback Blake Horvath said, that kid's so legit. They ran some wildcat stuff with Saunders in the second half of that game, which was a successful wrinkle for them. It sort of seemed like anything that gets the ball in his hands more often is going to work out well for them this fall. Really, really fun team to watch. I know they really would have liked to have played in week two, so they would have been a little bit maybe better prepared for that game against Darby, but taking that game down to the wire after coming off of a week where they didn't play because of a COVID situation at Westerville Central, I was impressed with how they bounced back and how well they hung in what was a really, really competitive back and forth game. And Friday morning, I think I will have a feature out about what it takes to be a good high school quarterback and how coaches seek to identify athletes that can handle the pressure of Friday night under the lights, because something I have found myself fascinated by is the concept that we talk so much about the pressure of Friday night under the lights and having to be the player in control of the team and having to be the player that handles that pressure. But there's really no way to know if somebody can handle that pressure until they step onto the field and do it for the first time. So be on the lookout for that feature, hopefully coming out on Friday. I talked to some really interesting people about it and got some really interesting perspectives. So looking forward to that. Moving on from football, we've got our third athlete of the week poll out. We've got a two-horse race at the top right now between Upper Arlington soccer goalie Abby Rice and Mariah Massey from Pickerington Central Volleyball. Both have, last I checked, only 50 or so votes apart, so that one could really go either way and should come down to the wire in a way that our first couple polls have not. We can take a look at the ballot, talk through everybody who's on there this week. Nick Dickens from Olentangy Liberty Golf shot 5 under last week and was medalist runner-up at the Pickerington North Invitational. Preston Everhart on Dublin Jerome football had 223 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns last week. Braden Flaherty from Hilliard Bradley completed 18 of 28 passes for 211 yards and a touchdown, added an additional 2 touchdowns and 110 rushing yards on 13 carries. Rico Franklin Davis at Olentangy Orange had 6 solo tackles, 3 assists, 1 tackle for loss, 1.5 sacks, and 4 quarterback hurries in their game. Blake Horvath at Hilliard Darby ran for 195 yards and 4 touchdowns. J.D. Kershaw at Olentangy Orange Soccer made 7 saves in a 1-1 tie with Olentangy. Amelia Kennard, Dublin Scioto Tennis, is undefeated on the season, had 6-1, 6-2 wins over Westerville North and Hilliard Darby last week. Miriam Massey, Pick Central Volleyball, had 71 kills, 7 blocks, 30 digs, 6 aces, a 303 hitting percentage, and 1 serve-receive error in 50 attempts through their first 4 games. The team was on 3-1 in those 4 games, including obviously 3 wins, and then their 1 loss was 5 sets against Dublin Kaufman, where she had 29 kills and 10 digs. Spencer McClellan on Dublin Scioto Cross Country won the Hartford Twilight Meet with a time of 15:52. Abby Rice on Upper Arlington Soccer has led her team to a 5-0 record with 5 shutouts through their first 5 games. I know she broke her shutout streak Tuesday night with a 3-2 win let in 2 goals and still made 6 saves, which certainly speaks to the quality of the offense that Upper Arlington was facing in Granville. Caden Saunders, Westerville South Football, had 7 passes for 98 yards, completed 4 of 5 passes for 37 yards and a touchdown, and rushed for 57 yards and a touchdown in that game. He really was doing it all for them. I was particularly impressed with his passing out of that Wildcat. They used it more as a weapon than I'd expected. Trayvon Saunders, Hartley Football, had 230 all-purpose yards and 4 touchdowns, 2 receiving, 1 rushing, and 1 by punt return. Candace Thomas on Pick Central Tennis is undefeated for the season. Most recently won 6-1, 6-love, and 6-3, 6-3. And Time Year Win from Kip rounds out the ballot with 125 rushing yards, 64 passing yards, and a passing touchdown, and an 81-yard kickoff return in Kip's game on Friday. So that is this week's Athlete of the Week poll. Voting is due, like I said, 4 p.m. on Friday. Make sure you send in those nominations to sports editor Brian White every week. I know it's something that he really enjoys working on, likes to see the names that you guys send in. So make sure you get those in. It's linked in the ballot, the information on how to nominate people. And the ballot is also all over Dispatch social media and my social media. Other things on my social media include our Sunday column, which has gotten really good feedback so far. So fun to keep that going. It is hard for me to keep an eye on everything happening in all of the over 100 schools we cover. So please always feel free to tweet me at @BaileyAJohnson_, email me bjohnson@dispatch.com, or send smoke signals, carrier pigeons, handwritten letters, anything that you can think of to let me know of an athlete or a team that deserves to be highlighted, because I am do what I can and try to keep an eye on as many things as possible. But I know there's always stuff going on that I don't know about, and I don't want to feel like anybody's being left out or anybody is being overlooked. So if there's ever anything that you guys would like to see me talk about, please, please, please always send it my way. And also make sure you follow us on Instagram @DispatchSports, with a big shout out to Chandler, our audience editor, who has been doing most of the posting on there. And we've seen some really incredible growth over the last couple of weeks. I've got some fun ideas to do more on the Instagram story as the account gets bigger. So stay tuned for that and make sure you're following so you can see all the fun stuff that we've got coming there. And with that, I think that wraps us up for the week. So yeah, make sure you follow Dispatch Sports on Instagram, Dispatch Alerts on Twitter, me on Twitter @BaileyAJohnson_, and make sure you're checking dispatch.com and subscribing for all of my latest coverage of high school sports in Columbus.